15:58. Therefore, believers whom I love, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 15:58. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. John 14:6. Psalm 55:22. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He shall never let the righteous fall. Psalm 55:22. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man whose trust in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Jeremiah 17:7. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to James chapter 1, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. In our wonderful study through this magnificent book, the book of James, we come again to this second verse, James chapter 1, verse 2. How fantastic it is to study God's Word. God has given all of us many wonderful opportunities. One of the greatest that we have as believers is to do what we're doing here this evening, and that is to turn our attention away from the things of this world, the distractions of this world, and focus our minds upon the eternal truths of God's Word. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. We can hide God's words in our hearts that we might not be in disobedience to His wonderful plan. Before we begin our reading, may we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful for the opportunities which we have to receive spiritual fuel for our souls. And that's our reason for being here again tonight. We're thankful for your great love for us. We realize that when you loved every one of us. Because the Scripture says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And this lets us know that your love encompasses every individual who has ever been, who will ever be, who has been born into this life. We're thankful for the life that you've given us. And we're thankful for, most of all, for eternal life. The life which you give us when we placed our faith and trust in the person of Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And so tonight we're thankful again for the wonderful plan of salvation through the person of Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the challenges of life. There are so many. And we pray that as we face the various tests and trials and difficulties of life, we'll see that you're putting things together for your honor and glory and for our good. We thank you tonight for that which we have as we study together this magnificent verse of Scripture. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. We're reading the first 8 verses of James chapter 1. From James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to Jewish Christians scattered everywhere, greetings. James chapter 1, verse 2. Dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy. On the screen you see James 1, 2, which says, literally, all joy. Count it, my brothers, when you fall into various trials and temptations. For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow, and don't try to squirm out of your problems. For when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you will be ready for anything, strong in character, full and complete. James chapter 1, verse 5. If you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him, and He will gladly tell you. For He is always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask Him. He will not resent it. Verse 6 of chapter 1 of James. But when you ask Him, be sure that you really expect Him to tell you. For a doubtful mind will be as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. And every decision you then make will be uncertain as you turn first this way and then that. If you don't ask with faith, don't expect the Lord to give you any solid answer. I want to begin tonight by sharing with you 5 points of introduction in relationship to the importance of the believer concentrating on the Word of God. Don't say no too quickly is the first sentence I want to give you. Don't say no too quickly. If you don't understand, don't say no too quickly. If you think you understand, but you do not agree, don't say no too quickly. There are 5 reasons, I believe, why the believer must concentrate on things which he or they cannot understand and things for which they perhaps have no frame of reference. The first thing that I mention is that a part of developing motivation as a believer is the will to master something that you may feel that you have no immediate use for or interest in. And let me just repeat that. A part of developing motivation as a believer is the will to master something that you may conceive that you have no immediate use for or that you have no particular interest in. In other words, to master a subject which you frankly are not interested in. I need to tell you that this type of teaching, when you may face something you don't particularly find interesting or that you are not concerned about, if you will concentrate, that will make it possible for you to have a self-motivation that will be strengthened so that it will give you strength to have an appreciation then for the spiritual truths when testing comes your way. What I'm trying to say here in point one is, oftentimes we hear messages that first of all we do not think that we have any particular need of, or we may think that we're not all that interested in, and yet we're trying to emphasize the fact that we need to develop our desire for hearing subjects about which we do not think we have any particular need or that we do not particularly agree with the communication. That will strengthen us in our motivation to utilize that information whenever we find ourselves later on faced with a difficulty or burden or trial or test that we didn't realize was going to come our way. The second thing that I would like for you to remember is it is necessary to realize that there is no spiritual advance apart from learning all the subjects of the Word of God. It is necessary for us to realize that there is no spiritual advance apart from learning the whole realm of spiritual fuel. In other words, what I'm saying here is that you and I should have a desire to keep learning. There must be a habit developed to keep receiving truth no matter what the circumstances are. When people have pressure, for instance, hard times, what they do not need at that particular point of time is to be necessarily complimented or flattered or told what a wonderful individual they are. They need to be able at that point of time to utilize the things that they've learned in past weeks and days and months and years. In other words, they have to establish what I call a habit of receiving truth under all circumstances. That's necessary. The third thing that I mentioned by way of introduction is hearing advanced truth before you're ready to understand it will help you to avoid many of the traps related to distractions. Hearing advanced truth before you're ready to even understand it will help you to avoid the traps related to distraction. Now, what do I mean by that? While you're avoiding the traps, you are developing a frame of reference so that one day you'll be able to utilize those truths which you learned even when you didn't think you were ready to receive that heavy information. You will receive information on a daily basis or a weekly basis, and you will say to yourself quietly, I don't understand that. You may say, I don't feel like I need that, but I'm going to receive it anyway. And then one day you will say, oh, I realize that I really needed that information. I got it. I understand it now, and I'm ready to make application of that information. You're seeing tonight that I'm trying to lay a foundation for the subject, which is apply what you know. Point four, hearing truth you do not understand challenges you to keep learning so that you will understand. Hearing truth you do not understand challenges you to keep learning so that you will eventually understand. A lot of people do not like to hear something which they do not understand, but it should be always a challenge to us to hear information that may be, as we would say, that's too deep for me. I don't understand that. I've never heard that before. Well, hearing truth you do not understand should challenge you to keep learning so that you eventually will understand. The fifth thing that I mentioned by way of introduction is a new believer who has just learned the basics must continue to advance in more heavily presented spiritual truths. In other words, the person who's learning as a young new believer must realize that it pays to, in essence, sit on the bench and listen and learn. I put in my notes, it's important for a person to sit on the bench before he or she makes the varsity. Let ourselves get familiar with the system. Sit on the bench. This verse of Scripture that you see on the screen and on the back of your bulletin, and we're looking at it now for the last time because next Sunday we'll go to James 1:3. If you'll notice, it says, count. We'll stop on that word count again and let you know that it means add up the facts and come to a conclusion. You cannot apply what you do not know. You cannot apply what you do not have. This word count, which we've studied, emphasizes the fact that you and I as believers are to add up the facts, the information which we received, and then draw some conclusions. We add up facts based upon the fact that we received information over and over and over again. It may not be too difficult to add up the facts when things are going well, when we are prosperous and things are going as we think they should. But here, in this verse of Scripture, it is saying, count up your pressures, count up your difficulties, and come up with a conclusion that you're to place your complete trust and happiness in the Lord, who will give you His confidence. It's important for us to continue to learn. I need to tell you, and I perhaps have mentioned this to you, some years ago it was my responsibility to go into an office at the seminary and sit in front of two major professors and deal with what they called at that time an oral exam to pass the tests for a Master of Theology degree, THM. And I spent days getting ready for that oral exam. I was not all that comfortable about going and sitting in front of two professors, major professors, for a period of time, but I wanted to do the best I could. And so I studied and I prepared and I did all kinds of things in preparation for that oral exam. And then I went in and I thought, boy, here's what I'm going to do. They'll ask me a question and I'll have the answer. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to spend as much time as I can discussing that particular subject matter. Because I had memorized so many pages of information and I had set up for myself various ways and means of going through information with my letters, and I'd set up the acrostics, and I would be able to, in my mind, say the first letter is A and it deals with this information, and B, and I was prepared. I mean, I was ready for them to give me the question, and I wanted to spend as much time as I could so that I could pass the time away answering the questions that I knew the answer to. Well, I was surprised. They would ask a question, one professor and then the other. They'd ask a question and I would begin to answer. And they would let me go just a matter of a minute or two. They would see that I would be able to answer that question and they'd stop me and they'd go to another question. Now they ruined my plan because there I had planned to give the answer and discuss it for a long period of time. I guess perhaps they'd had that happen before. And so they knew what to do to cut me off and move on to other subjects. I just want you to know that you cannot apply what you do not know. As someone said, everyone has a test. Throughout the number of years that I was in college and seminary, I had the responsibility of facing many, many, many tests. And I realized something, that I didn't pray that the Lord would give me the answer. In other words, I had to realize that if I didn't have the information, I wouldn't be able to write it down. So I'm telling you this evening, you cannot apply what you do not know. Now, apply what you know is the subject for tonight. I'm going to give you 7 points. These are very, very important points. I put this down as wonderful results of truth in the soul. Apply what you know. Wonderful results of truth in the soul. Major division number one, truth produces confidence. Truth produces confidence. In other words, while you and I are on this earth, as we study God's Word and grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, I promise you, we have confidence. It gives us joy and peace, contentment, confidence. I go now with you and ask you to go with me to the book of Job, chapter 5. I find some interesting things in chapter 5. I'll not be able to read all of this, but I'd like to encourage you to turn to that passage of Scripture. Job chapter 5. They cry for help, but no one listens. They turn to their gods, but none gives them aid. In Job chapter 5, now verse 2, they die in helpless frustration, overcome by their own anger. Those who turn from God may be successful for the moment, but then comes sudden disaster. Job chapter 5, verse 4, their children are cheated with no one to defend them. Their harvests are stolen and their wealth slakes the thirst of many others, not themselves. Misery comes upon them to punish them for sowing seeds of sin. Mankind heads for sin and misery as predictable as flames shoot upward from a fire. Now Job 5, verse 8. My advice to you is this. Go to God. Confess your sins to Him. For He does wonderful miracles, marvels without number. He sends the rain upon the earth to water the fields and gives prosperity to the poor and humble and takes sufferers to safety. Job chapter 5, verse 12, He frustrates the plans of the crafty men. They're caught in their own traps. He thwarts their schemes. They grope like blind men in the daylight. They see no better in the daytime than at night. God saves the fatherless and the poor from the grasp of these oppressors. And so at last the poor have hope and the fangs of the wicked are broken. How amiable the man whom God corrects. Oh, Do not despise the chastening of the Lord when you sin. For though He wounds, He binds and heals again. He will deliver you again and again so that no evil can touch you. I'm looking now at Job 5:20. He will keep you from death and famine and from the power of the sword in time of war. You will be safe from slander, no need to fear the future. You shall laugh at war and famine. Wild animals will leave you alone. Dangerous animals will be at peace with you. Now, all of that is important, but now let me ask you to look at verse 24. You need not worry about your home while you're gone. Nothing shall be stolen from your barns. Your sons shall become important men. Your descendants shall be as numerous as grass. You shall live a long, good life, like standing grain. You'll not be harvested until it's time. I have found from experience that all of this is true. For your own good, listen to my counsel. Truth produces confidence while you and I are here on the earth. If you'll turn now with me to the book of Hebrews, I would like for you to look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35, where it says, "Don't throw away your confidence." Hebrews 10:35, "Don't throw away your confidence." I'd ask you also to turn now to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's begin our reading with verse 6. I know that I'm asking you to turn to different passages, but it's important for us to at least write these down. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Now we look forward with confidence to our heavenly bodies, realizing that every moment we spend in these earthly bodies is time spent away from our eternal home in heaven with Christ. Could I stop for a moment and let you see how fantastic that is? We're looking at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Now we look forward with confidence to our heavenly bodies, realizing that every moment we spend in these earthly bodies is time spent away from our eternal home in heaven with our Lord. We know these things are true by believing and not by seeing. And we are not afraid, but are quite content to die, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So our aim is to please Him always in everything we do. Whether we're here in this body or away from this body and with Him in heaven. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged and have our lives laid bare before Him. Each of us will receive whatever he deserves for the good or the bad things he's done in his earthly body. Wonderful results of truth in the soul. The first major result is truth produces confidence while we're here on the earth. Number two, truth orients us to God's plan. Truth orients us to God's plan. We've memorized this verse of Scripture or this passage of Scripture, which says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Have we thought about how wonderful that is? Isaiah 26:3-4. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." And have we memorized Romans 8:28, where it says, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose"? Many times we quote that verse of Scripture and we say, "For all things work together for good." And yet we don't say it like it really is. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. Truth orients us to God's plan. Number three, truth produces stability. Truth produces stability. We're in the book of James now, and so I'm going to ask you to look with me on down to James chapter 1, verse 8. We'll be there one of these days. We read it here again tonight. It says, "Every decision you then make will be uncertain as you turn first this way and then that." In James 1:8, in the King James Version and some of the other versions, and in the original text, it says, "A person who goes in the wrong direction is a double-minded individual." I'd like to ask you to write down somewhere the words "double-minded." And then I would like for you to write the Greek word. I'll just let you put it in the English rather than in the Greek letters. D-I-P-S-U-C-H-O-S. D-I-P-S-U-C-H-O-S. Now, I'm going to analyze that with you because I want you to see. I just said to you that James 1:8 deals with a double-minded individual. I just gave you the Greek word. I shall spell it again. D-I-P-S-U-C-H-O-S. Now, I'm going to tear that apart. I'm going to separate it. I'm going to take the last part of the word, P-S-U-C-H-O-S, sukos, and tell you that that is the Greek word which means soul. Sukos is the word soul. At the first of that word, I just gave you two letters, D-I, which is a prefix, which is also a preposition. And as I was referring to the prepositions the other day, I said many, many years ago, I learned the prepositions. And the way I learned it, I drew a circle and I put a line all the way through and I put D-I-A, which shows me that that's a preposition which means through. That's easy for me to understand. I put hupo, H-U-P-O, above, above and hupo below. Huper, above, hupo below. Now, the way I can remember that is the way I just now told you. Huper means above, hupo means below. If I tell you hypostatic union, I need to tell you that that is hupo stasis. The word stasis means to stand. Hupo means preposition under, stand under. So you understand? I'm trying to give you now the fact that this is D-I, sukos, which means through the soul, which means split soul. Now, there's the heart of this. In other words, a person who does not know God's plan and who does not utilize God's word is described in the scripture as a person being double-minded. It simply means that they are split-souled, split-minded. Truth produces stability. In other words, a person who does not advance does not have stability. Number three, again, truth produces stability. James 1:8. Major division number four. Truth is the key to a right attitude. Truth is the key to a right attitude. In Isaiah chapter 55, the scripture says, "Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." Now, I realize that Isaiah was God's man about 700 years before Jesus Christ came on the scene. And Isaiah 55, 7 through 9 says, in this part of it I'm quoting, "Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." In other words, truth is the key to a right mental attitude. Truth is the key to having the right attitude in life. Number five, truth leads to occupation with Jesus Christ. Truth leads to occupation with Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you now, if you will, please, to go with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, And let's begin our reading with verse 12. Ephesians 3:12. Now we can come fearlessly right into God's presence, assured of His glad welcome when we come with Christ and trust in Him. Isn't it interesting to see in Ephesians 3:12, it says, we can come fearlessly right into God's presence, assured of His glad welcome when we come with Christ and trust in Him. Another scripture says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Then look at Ephesians 3:13. So please, don't lose heart at what they're doing to me here. It is for you I'm suffering, Jesus said, and you should feel honored and encouraged. When I think of the wisdom and scope of His plan, I fall down on my knees and pray to the Father of all the great family of God. This, of course, is an emphasis upon Paul's attitude. That out of His glorious unlimited resources, He will give you the mighty inner strengthening of the Holy Spirit. Verse 17 of Ephesians 3, and I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living within you as you trust in Him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. I like the way this is printed. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you be able to feel and understand, as all God's children should, how long and how wide, how deep and how high His love really is. And experience this love for yourselves, though it is so great that you will never be able to see the end of it or fully know or understand it. Did you see it? I just don't feel like I should stop. No, I feel like I should stop. I feel like I should stop and just read this over and over and over again until we go home. May you be able to understand, sense, know, as all God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, how high His love really is, and experience this love for yourselves, though it is so great that you will never see the end of it, or fully know or understand it. And so at last, you will be filled up with God Himself. Verse 20 of Ephesians 3. Now glory be to God, who by His mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, our highest desires, thoughts, or hopes. May He be given glory forever and ever through endless ages because of His Master's plan of salvation for the church through Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to say is truth is the key to occupation with the person of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:19 through all these verses I've read. Point 6. Truth results in effectiveness in the divine power sphere. Truth results in effectiveness in the divine power sphere. If you'll turn now to the book of Philippians. Philippians, the third chapter. We're going to begin reading with verse 12. Philippians 3:12. I don't mean to say I'm perfect, Paul said. I don't mean to say that I am without a sinful nature. I've learned all I should even, I have not learned all I should even yet. But I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ delivered me for and wants me to be. If you're looking at it, it's Philippians now, chapter 3, verse 13. No, dear brothers, I'm still not all I should be, but I'm bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing. Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, I strain to reach the end of the race and reach the prize for which God is calling us up to heaven because of what Christ Jesus did for us. Now, every time I read that, here's what I think about. I think about seeing the various races that I've seen through the years. And I've seen individuals stretching, running, bearing every ounce of energy to reach the goal. Look at this. My dear brothers, Paul said, I'm still not all I should be, but I'm bringing all my energies to bear on to this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God is calling us up to heaven because of what Christ Jesus has done for us. Truth results in the effectiveness as we live in God's power sphere on this earth. Number 7, and the last one, truth makes possible great blessings for time and for eternity. Truth makes possible great blessings for time and eternity. Now let me read some verses. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to pick up with verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11. When I mention chapter 11, does that do anything for any of you? If I should just say Hebrews chapter 11, what does that do to you? Is that the faith chapter? Is that the hero chapter? Some of you remember. Okay. I want to get that thought in your mind before I begin to read. Hebrews 11, verse 8. Abraham trusted God. And when God told him to leave home and go far away to another land, which he promised to give him, Abraham obeyed. Away he went, not even knowing where he was going. And even when he reached God's promised land, he lived in tents like a mere visitor, as did Isaac and Jacob, to whom God gave the same promise. Abraham did this because he was confidently waiting for God to bring him to that strong heavenly city whose designer and builder is God. I just wonder where we are in our Christian advance. What about Elijah? Are we walking with God? Are we going to walk so far that God will say one of these days, you walk so far with me, there's no need for you to go back. I'll just take you from where you are now. Look at it. And even when he reached God's promised land, he lived in tents like a visitor, as did Jacob and Isaac, to whom God gave the same promise. Why did he have that attitude? Abraham did this because he was confidently waiting for God to bring him to that strong heavenly city whose designer and builder is God. How fantastic. I told myself to read on down through verse 14, so I better obey. Verse 11, Sarah too had faith, and because of this she was able to become a mother in spite of her old age. For she realized that God, who gave her his promise, would certainly do what he said. And so a whole nation came from Abraham, who was too old to have even one child. A nation with so many millions of people that like the stars of the sky and the sand on the ocean shores, there's no way to count them. Verse 13 of Hebrews 11. These men of faith, I have mentioned, died without ever receiving all that God had promised them, but they saw it all awaiting them on ahead and were glad. For they agreed that this earth was not their real home, but that they were just strangers visiting down here. Do you like the way this translation presents it? I like it. It says, These men of faith, I've mentioned before, they died without ever receiving all that God had promised them, but they saw it all awaiting them on ahead and were glad, for they agreed that this earth was not their real home, but that they were strangers visiting down here for just a little while. I have Bible after Bible that my father-in-law has used through the years in preaching. It's amazing to me. It was his custom to read the Bible through over and over and over again. And I have his Bibles where he's marked and has written in the margin, prepared his sermons. I have outlines of sermons that he's preached. You know what? All while he was studying, learning, and advancing, he was looking forward to that day when he would be absent from the body and at home with the Lord. Truth makes possible great blessings for time and for eternity. Two verses more. James 1:25. Look at it. What does James 1:25 say? But if anyone keeps looking steadily into God's law for free men, he will not only remember it, but he will do what it says, and God will greatly bless him in everything that he does. That's James 1:25. And the other passage is James 2:12-13. You will be judged on whether or not you're doing what Christ wants you to do. So watch what you do and watch what you think. For there will be no mercy to those who have shown no mercy. But if you have been merciful, then God's mercy toward you will win out over His judgment against you. That's James 2:12-13. One last look at James 1:2. What does it say? It says, you and I should count up all of the various things that happen to us in life and draw the right conclusion. In other words, we have to have something in order to apply it. And God wants us to apply what we know. And we've just talked about the wonderful results of truth in the soul. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Tonight, Father, we're thankful for the fact that you've given us so much, and we can learn and we can utilize and apply the things we learn. Help us not to take these things just for granted. Help us to realize how important it is for us to have the mind of thinking of Jesus Christ. And we realize that if we do this, the truth will produce confidence, orient us to God's plan, bring stability, give us the right attitude in life, cause us to be occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be effective individuals while we live on this earth, and we'll be the recipients of great blessings, not only for this life, but blessings throughout eternity. And we thank you that all this is provided for us through Jesus Christ, the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So the plan of salvation is through the person of Jesus Christ, and we're thankful for that. In Jesus' name, amen.